Hi, I'm Sophia Yen, and I'm a pediatrician and adolescent medicine specialist. So I'm an MD, and I also got my MPH at Cal Berkeley in maternal child health, specializing in obesity. My interest is reproductive health, and so that's kind of the lens how I view the world. My goal is to prevent all teenage pregnancy. No teenager should want to get pregnant because they should have better things to aim for during their teenage years. And I'm involved in a nonprofit called SheHeroes.org, and we provide free online videos, 5 to 10 minutes, profiling women who are at the top of their field, and these are to be used in any after-school program or at home with parents, grandparents, parent, aunts, uncles, whoever you're hanging out with, to watch the video and discuss what your future goals are and just show young women they can be whatever they want to be. And the other interest is that teenagers should not get pregnant because we have such good birth control, and they should have comprehensive sex ed, and they should have access to confidential reproductive health care, and they should have access to the whole spectrum of reproductive health care. And with that, I start campaign to trust women. The reason why it's such a mouthful is there's a silver ribbon campaign for mental health, and there's a group called Trust Women, and I thought I'd throw the two together and make it into one. And the idea is those of us that support reproductive rights, that think birth control should be available freely, and that believe abortion should be safe and legal and accessible, should wear silver ribbon, come out of the closet, because about 70% of this country at least supports that doctrine. That is the personal health decision, that government should not be involved. But I feel that often we're in the closet and we're the 5 or 10% that are very vocal in taking over this country. So that's my background. And in response, I want to start off that I'm a pediatrician, and you had mentioned that it's really important with all of these people coming into primary care and as a primary care provider that we need to deal with things early. And from the pediatrician's perspective, it's always about anticipatory guidance, preventing things, and that's why I chose pediatrics as opposed to internal medicine, because when I went to internal medicine, I was depressed. I would see people who had liver cancer, who had been drinking for years, and I'm like, oh, I can't help you reverse that. Or people who had lung cancer, who had been smoking for years, oh, goodness, I can't help you prevent that. But as an adolescent medicine specialist, I enjoy it greatly because I'm catching people right when they're starting these things. And so if you're going to have sex, use a condom. If you're going to have a sex, know who these partners have been with. And if you can't ask that question, don't have sex with that. And so I absolutely understand the need for anticipatory guidance and for prevention, dealing with things early. I also work in a morbid obesity clinic, so I definitely know lots about obesity and have been highly discouraged lately because I used to be anti-surgery, but with the realization that these young people are 200 pounds overweight and at a healthy loss of 20 pounds per year, that's 10 years that I'm going to have to wait for this 15-year-old to get better, and I can't wait that long. And so certainly if we spent the $100,000 that the insurance companies freely dole out to cover their surgery, we spent a fraction of that on a personal trainer and a nutritionist that came to their house, that would only cost, what, $10,000? Or for $30,000 a year, I could give that person a personal trainer, right? Or I could feed them at home probably every other day or something like that. But instead, we just blow $100,000 on that surgery. And it works. And it works really well. But it's unfortunate that we go that route. And we can't think out of the box and pay for this prevention. So I hope that that will be the future. But I don't know how or if we'll get there. The other thing I want to encourage for you all, if you haven't thought outside of the box, new and innovative ways to provide care. Because we talk about the provider shortage, but there are things that can be delegated differently. And I've heard from a great Stanford professor, Paul Weiss, that healthcare pediatricians really shouldn't be doing the general healthcare checkup, right? That is like the well, he says that this would be radical because we would be saved for the complicated cases, and that the health educator could do the visit, and it could be a group visit, and then you have a general checkup. And I think that would save a ton of money, and that would open up a lot of providers. So I think that's a radical new way to look at it, and it should be something to be considered, because as a physician, I really don't need to do Denver developmental. Somebody else could do that. I could be there to look in the ear. I could be there to other things, but also there's nurse practitioners. So I think we need to expand the role possibly of health educators and free up physicians for higher level thoughts. And that would save a lot of money, and that would be a lot more jobs that would be created as well. What I heard from your talk also is the power of politics and the need to appeal to vanity. And I think that the John Roberts thing is, where do I stand in history? And for me, this would have been his third strike. And that's how the rest of his administration would have been viewed. And so we need to seize upon those opportunities and to seize upon public humiliation or people's vanity for the future and look at those opportunities. You had mentioned that it, in option four, how could the Republicans take it away? I, being cynical and in politics on the side, totally easily. Same way they ship all the jobs to China. They feel no guilt. All those jobs are gone, but they make money. It's all about cha-ching. It's all about their pocket. And the other part is, as a pediatrician, I understand that when I argue for children's rights, their percentage of the health care budget is so little because we spend so little on them because they're healthy, as opposed to the end of life, which, you know, blows millions in the last 1 year or something like that. And so the reason why it can be taken away is these are vulnerable populations who cannot vote, who cannot speak for themselves. These are people with pre-existing conditions. These are children. These are, you know, the in-between. And that's why it's such a wonderful thing, the Affordable Care Act, that it could be so easily taken away because it's too late. Once these people are in office, it's too late. They have the power, and they don't care. And maybe in 4 years, but during those 4 years, how many people will suffer? So I think it's very easy. Option four, again, I'm being cynical again. We had option four. We had option four for a 2-year window, and lots of crazy, awesome things could have happened. But it was Obama's first term, and he wanted to reach across the aisle, and he wanted to be a team player. And I think of him as the sarcastic great compromiser. He is, I think, inexperienced, and I don't think it would have happened under Clinton because she is hardened, but he comes to the table with his final offer. When you go to bargain in a, you know, India, bazaar, you don't go in with your first offer. You start with crazy because the other side says it's crazy. And then you come to the middle. He's too nice. He's too rational. He comes in and he goes, this is what I'm going to do. And you would hope a nice person would come back and say, this is what I'm going to do. But we're dealing with the Tea Party here. We're not dealing with rationality. And so I'm very cynical, and I think even if we had it all, it wouldn't change. But this is the second term, and so he wouldn't be running again, and hopefully he's learned from his mistakes. But I personally was very disappointed with what he did with emergency contraception. So as you may or may not know, when it originally came, they said send it over the counter, no age restrictions. The FDA nonpartisan panel said send it over the counter, no age restrictions. And the FDA commissioner, who was appointed by Bush, said, no, I don't think so. Never in our country's history had a history, had a drug been stopped by the FDA commissioner. Then 2 years later, a nice judge in New York said, yeah, this is totally not based on science. This is based on politics. Send it over the counter for 17 above reasonable years. December 2011 under Obama, I know you're busy with other stuff, but you do have people. FDA commission voted again over the counter. FDA commissioner appointed by Obama voted over the counter. Secretary of State Sebelius, who I know is totally pro-choice, he was supported by Dr. Tiller's PAC in Kansas, but probably heard from above and said, no, I don't think so. We don't have the data on 12-year-olds. And then Obama had the opportunity to say, oh, I came in this administration and was built, and I statement that says this administration will be based on science and not politics. He said, oh, my goodness, what if my two girls were to go in the pharmacy and end up with emergency contraception? And, yes, I agree. God forbid that your two young daughters would need that medication. But what is the alternative that the other side always forgets to think about? If you don't give that kid the medication, she ends up pregnant. A 12-year-old is going to be far more messed up pregnant than if they have access to emergency contraception. And so I invoke my two daughters in return. I say, I'll teach my two daughters, if they go to the pharmacy, don't buy a giant bottle of ibuprofen or Tylenol, down on it and kill yourself. If you take two pills of emergency contraception, nothing happens. You will not kill yourself. You will not hurt yourself. And so, unfortunately, he gave that in hopes that they would let birth control without any copay slide. But, again, when you bargain with the devil, that was going to play. And so he got played. And I hope that in the second administration, if it were to come, that he will grow a pair of ovaries and allow adolescents emergency contraception. Because who do you want to prevent pregnancy in, a 15-year-old or a 35-year-old? I would rather prevent it in the 15-year-old, who would have much more dire consequences. On the good note is, will the Affordable Care Act, like you mentioned, hinder or help us get to universal health care? And those of us who support universal health care were very disappointed again when Obama compromised and did not allow the public option. But I totally think it is about baby steps, and I think it's about making what's palatable to the American public. And Hillary Clinton was ahead of her time, and it was too early, but now people are ready. And so I think the Affordable Care Act is a step in the right direction. And the next spoonful of goodness we're going to give to them is the Michelin tire and hopefully a public option. So I think that's my summary and take.